door C-R-B.
And a very good morning to you. John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, back with you for another program of The Law and You. Tuesday morning, your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 10 o'clock. All we ask you to do is get on that telephone as soon as you possibly can. Our number, of course, 5520888. That number again, 5520888. If you live south of the Tweed River, of course, 07 in front of the number. Otherwise, you can get straight through 5520888. And thank you to all the people who called in last week and made for such an interesting program. I think from memory, we had about 9 or 10 calls, which makes for a very full program and certainly many and varied subjects that we were talking about. So thank you to all of those people who called in. Later today, I'll be attending the AMP Advice Estate Planning Seminar, which is taking place this afternoon. Unfortunately, it's sold out, it's booked out, I should say, with a waiting list, so there's no opportunity to attend. But just something to bear in mind if you have an interest in the areas of estate planning, self-funded retirement, etc. It could be worth keeping an eye out for when the next of those seminars is going to be run. Also, I did briefly mention at the end of the program last week about the fact that the amendments or the Privacy Amendment Notifiable Breaches Act came into effect on the 22nd of February, and I was just making people aware of what sort of penalties are involved if you're involved with an organisation or you're an individual in business and you breach the requirements of that act and then fail to notify the Australian Information Commissioner and all the members on your database of the breach within 30 days. The thing to bear in mind with that is that according to statistics, there are more than 5 million personal records stolen daily. So that, I think, would be worldwide. But nonetheless, it's a lot of information that's stolen every day in relation to individuals. So certainly well worth your while if you're involved even in a not-for-profit organisation which has a database, to be well aware of the terms of that legislation to make sure that you have appropriate firewalls and cyber security in place, as well as appropriate education for all the members of your organisation to make sure that they comply with that law. But enough of that. We have our first caller online and we say a very good morning to Bill. G'day, Bill. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
No trouble. How can we help you today?
I'm a bit worried about this. I'm on heavy medication. I'm on Targan and Endone and things like that. Mm-hmm. I've been told if I get pulled up by the police, I'm 70, in my 70s, nearly
mm-hmm.
80. If I pull up by the police and they put me on that drug thing, that I'd definitely go.
Right, okay. Well, look, I honestly couldn't tell you whether it targets...
That's Targan, T-A-R-G-I-N, Targan.
Yes. I don't know, though, Bill, whether it targets prescribed medications or it only targets illegal substances such as marijuana, heroin, those sorts of things. So what I would suggest you do in relation to it, Bill, just to find out, would be I would suggest that you either go to your local police station or alternatively call your local police station and just have a chat to them in relation to it to find out what the situation is as far as medications are concerned. I mean, obviously, if you're taking medication that affects your ability to react as a driver, then that would certainly be something that that you would need to be concerned about yourself, not just from the prospect of being charged with a driving offence, but it very well may, for example, affect the comprehensive insurance on your car. So there may be a whole range of things that that would be of concern. The other thing I would be doing too, of course, would be speaking to your doctor who prescribed the medication for you and just finding out from him whether it is safe for you to drive with that medication in your system or not, so that you at least know whether you should or shouldn't be driving while you're taking that type of medication.
Okay, Okay.
So,
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
go and see your doctor and give the police a call, or go into your local police station and just have a chat to them about it. I'm sure that they would be able to.
I don't think I'll drive there.
Maybe an idea to ring them up and have a chat to them about it, yes. All right,
Thanks,
Bill. Bye-bye. All the very best. You're in tune with 4CRB 89.3 FM. The time is just past 22 minutes to 10. The Law on You is the program. Free legal advice is the objective of the program. So if you have a question or a query, get on that telephone right now. 55208888. That number again, 55208888. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Are you serious about losing weight? VitaDiet has been helping Australians lose weight and live healthier since 1987. All VitaDiet shakes, soups, bars and desserts are gluten-free, made in Australia and have been perfected over 30 years. There's a VitaDiet eating plan, and yes, you do eat real food. Plus, use the VitaDiet ketone sticks to gauge your fat-burning performance. To find out how you could lose up to 3 kilos in your first week, visit VitaDiet.com.au for your local pharmacy or call 1-300-SHAKES. VitaDiet. Time to try it.
Another sponsor.
If it's time to move into aged care, finding the right place for you at the start is vital. Kirsty from All Steps Aged Care has been through each of the 67 facilities and can help recommend the most suitable options for you. Save your family time and get the right advice now. Call Kirsty, a sponsor of the station, on 0423 871 688.
And this is The Law on You. 55208888 is the number if you have a question or a query this morning. We presently have no calls online, so if you want to get through quickly, you could ring that telephone number right now, 55208888, and you would be the first caller. Since the start of this year, we've been presenting a number of seminars to various groups, and in particular, we've been concentrating on the area of powers of attorney. And just the myths and pitfalls about powers of attorney. And it has been amazing just how many people seem to have this view, oh, well, look, I really only need to worry about getting a power of attorney when I get old. And when I do, I'll go down to the newsagent and buy a form and fill it out. And through this series that we've been running, it has just been incredible how people have not appreciated how important the power of attorney document is. And in fact, I always stress to clients that the power of attorney is actually a far more important document than your will, because your power of attorney is going to determine what happens while you're alive. Certainly your will is important. You want to make sure that your money ends up where you want it to go and there are no disputes, etc. But failing to have in place a well-drafted power of attorney with people in place that you know will do the right thing by you can have absolutely catastrophic consequences for you. I think it's summed up in that bumper sticker you occasionally see, always be nice to your kids because one day they'll choose your nursing home. So just bear that in mind for the future. But enough of that. We say a very good morning to Anne. G'day, Anne. How are you?
Hey, g'day. I've just got a general inquiry.
Sure.
My brother has early onset dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's applied for Centrelink disability pension and got knocked back, and that he's still in the New Start thing.
Yep.
If he can't remember instructions,
I just missed the word you said. If he can't remember what?
Instructions.
Oh, yes, yes.
On the jobs that he's been sent to do.
Mm-hmm.
And someone gets injured. Mm. Who's liable? Because he's been to specialists and he's got certified dementia,
mm-hmm.
But he's been made to go on jobs with New Start. So I'm just wondering,
you mean to go he's been made to go for job interviews?
Job interviews, and he has had short-term jobs and that. And I'm just concerned for him if he can't remember instructions and someone gets hurt, who's going to be liable, him or
It's a very interesting question, Anne. I seriously doubt it'll be Centrelink, but The situation is that I think that when he is going for job interviews, he should be making clear to the prospective employer that he does have early onset dementia, and to point out that it does in some instances affect his memory, so that that can be an issue in relation to things that he may be asked to do in relation to those jobs. Ultimately, if someone mucks something up on a job and someone is hurt, it is normally the employer that is liable for the failure to have a safe system of work. But equally, it can be the employee who's liable if, in fact, they do something that is unsafe. So I think it is a fairly dangerous situation for your brother, quite honestly, to be put in that situation. I think that what I would be inclined to do in relation to it is get him to raise the matter with his doctor and just say that he is concerned that, you know, that his memory affects him, and that this may affect him in relation to his employment. I think he needs to be making that very clear to any prospective employer, that he has this issue. And so in relation to jobs that he's required to do, they need to ensure that he's not put into a position where, you know, he may, for example, be required to direct people in various things, so that may in fact endanger them. So I think I would be speaking to the doctor, because if the doctor says that the dementia is at a level where he can't reasonably work, then that certainly should be something that would be influencing Centrelink to say, well, look, you know, we really need to look, we need to give this person a disability pension rather than have them on Newstart. I must confess I wasn't aware that, I know that, they do put, people pending their disability pension on Newstart, but I wasn't aware that they actually made those people go and apply for jobs. That's a news to me, to be honest. The only other thing I could suggest that you consider doing, Anne, is just to get a bit more advice in relation to it, because I can't really go into chapter and verse in a program such as this, because it may, of course, breach privacy. But mm-hmm. What part of the Gold Coast do you live, or what part of the Gold Coast does your brother live? In what area? Are you in the northern end or the southern end?
Northern end.
Okay, well, look, the other thing that you could possibly do would be to, you and or your brother could go in and see the Citizens Advice Bureau at Southport. If you have a pen, I can give you their number.
Yes.
Okay, so the number's 5532 9611.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go in and see them, or ring them up and make an appointment to go in with your brother, and you would be able to specifically go through the whole issue with them and get some more advice that is quite specific to your brother's circumstances. All right then?
Because there's a couple of things. He himself denies that he's got a problem.
All right,
but
okay.
He has been through to specialists and taken their reports to Centrelink, which have said that he is unfit for work because of his dementia.
Mm.
And they denied him a disability pension mm-hmm. in the first place.
Did he apply for a review?
Well, he refused the first time. My father is trying to get him to go through it again.
Mm.
But
because there is a review process. If they refuse, you can in fact apply for a review of the decision.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just on the tables. They said he didn't qualify.
Right. Okay. Well, it may be that he needs another report. I mean, obviously, it's an ongoing issue. And I think also that you know, that issue needs to be raised with Centrelink as well, as to where will liability rest if in fact he does something on a job through lack of memory. All right then?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Anne, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB is just past 13 minutes to 10. That's 13 minutes to 11, daylight saving time. We say a very good morning to Murray. G'day, Murray. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, John.
How can we help you today?
I have a question regarding superannuation beneficiaries.
Sure.
The superannuation law, I believe, says that it can only go to a direct descendant. Or a dependent.
Mm.
Okay, now, a married person who has no children, or a married couple who have no children, they don't have a direct dependent.
Yes, in those situations...
Can it be willed to a niece or a nephew, and they've been told that they can't?
No.
If you put your beneficiary as per your last will and testament...
Mm.
Does that override it?
What you can do under the superannuation legislation, the specific beneficiaries are your spouse, a child, a dependent child, and that will have advantages from a tax perspective, or an adult child who's no longer dependent on you, and there will be tax consequences of that, or someone who was financially dependent upon you and most likely living in your home at the time that you pass away. The other alternative is your legal personal representative, or in other words, the executor under your will. So what I would suggest you do in this situation is that you make your legal personal representative the beneficiary of the super, and that simply means that it goes to them to distribute in accordance with the terms of your will.
Ah, right. Okay, different wording. Never mind.
Yes. So okay. But you couldn't actually say in the I don't believe that the death benefit nomination in saying that it was to go to the beneficiaries under your will would be valid. But in that situation, if it was an industry fund or a retail fund, you'd probably, in many of those cases, if it were a binding death benefit nomination and it's invalid, then the trustee of the fund has the discretion. I think you'd find in most of those cases they'd pay it to the legal personal representative, because it would appear fairly clear on the face of the form you filled out that that's what your intention was, but you just hadn't done it in the correct way.
Yeah, so it actually excludes a carer even.
Well, it would certainly exclude a paid carer. Yes, but the way you get around that is that you leave it to your legal personal representative, and then under your will, you say that I want X dollars to go to my carer.
Legal personal representative.
Yeah, it's just another way of saying executor, but you need to check with your fund. Are you in a self-managed fund or a retail fund?
Retail fund.
Yeah, well, you just need to check with whoever advises you in relation to it what is the correct wording for your death benefit nomination, and also whether you use a binding death benefit nomination or just a death benefit nomination. All right, then?
And the difference being?
Well, binding, as the word suggests, is that it's legally binding on the executor, on the trustees of the fund. In most instances with retail funds, they have to be renewed every 3 years, whereas a death benefit nomination doesn't normally need to be renewed. And with a death benefit nomination, the trustee of the fund does have a discretion, but if you have no children and there are no other CIS beneficiaries, then they would, and your death benefit nomination said, I want it to go to my legal personal representative, you would find that that's where they would pay it.
They don't have much option then, do they?
Not a great deal.
No, okay then. All right then. Thank you, John.
All the very best then, Murray. Cheers now. And time continues to march along. It's just coming up to 8.5 minutes to 10, 8.5 minutes to 11, daylight saving, and we say good morning to John. G'day, John. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
How can we help you today?
Okay, so a couple of questions here.
Sure.
Your business is a registered migration agent?
Yes.
Okay, so you do handle migration.
Yes.
A person which is married in South America in a country where is the same sex is permitted, and then came to Australia to live with his Australian national partner, company will be able to assist in obtaining a resident permit for the partner?
Yes, subject to looking at all the circumstances of it, there shouldn't be any reason why one of the immigration lawyers at the office wouldn't be able to look after that.
Okay. Hmm. And then the question is just for someone else. His wife left the house the 23rd of December 1996. They made a private settlement agreement with the children and witness, and hasn't been any problem at all. What is his status?
Are they divorced?
No, there is no. There was an agreement to separate and settle, you know, the assets.
Yep. All right. Well, if there was no court sanction, if the family court or the federal, federal circuit court or the federal magistrates court didn't sanction the, actually back in 96 it would have been the family court, if the property settlement between them wasn't sanctioned by the court, then theoretically, if either of them were to file for divorce, either one of them could also file a property application, because you're entitled to file a property application within 12 months of the date of divorce. So either person at this stage could file an application for property settlement. The court may or may not take into account what they've already agreed to, but the reality is that unless you have a court-sanctioned agreement, the agreement is not valid. It's not enforceable.
Okay. And what is actually his civil status?
Sorry, what is what?
After his civil status, what is his... Is he separated?
Well, he certainly, if she left back in 96, he's certainly separated. That's for sure. In fact, there's a big gulf there, but he's not divorced.
So he's not entitled to have another marriage until this.
Oh, certainly not. Definitely not. All right, then.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, then all the very best, John. Cheers now.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
We all know the seasons of the year come and go, and no matter which season we're in, skin cancer poses a continual threat. Each year many lives are saved with a simple visit to a doctor. Have an advanced trained male or female skin cancer doctor at Skin Alert Paradise Point take a look at your skin. Our sponsor, Skin Alert Paradise Point, is still offering an initial free full skin check. Valid Medicare card is required. Phone 55-77-5533. Before it's too late.
Hi, I'm Lucy Cole. Are you thinking of selling your property? Call 55-92-1288. Lucy Cole Prestige Properties, the trusted name in real estate. A 4CRB sponsor.
And we say a very good morning to Trevor. G'day, Trevor. How are you today?
Good morning, John. I wonder if you can help me. I'm in a bit of a dilemma here.
Sure.
I went into hospital for a specific operation, mm-hmm. and... during that operation, they decided to bring forward another operation I was due for, and that was a stent in the leg. But somewhere along the line, there were implications, and I was in a coma and all sorts of things. But anyway, I've come out with a dead leg, and it's just disintegrating. There's no nerves at all. No feeling, but the nerves are severely painful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm claiming for compensation with Centrelink again, as the previous caller said, you know, aren't listening to us, they're expecting us to go out and work, and, you know, we 100% 24-7 in pain. How do I expect you to do that? But I'm after some legal advice, but I've spoken to a few lawyers, and nobody will take it on, because there's more than one, one doctor operating.
Right, okay.
So they're a bit too worried about who's liable.
Right, okay. Well, look, the only thing that I could suggest you do, have you been to see either the Citizens Advice Bureau at Southport or the Robina Community Legal Centre?
Done all that.
Okay. Yes, well, look, the difficulty is that if you can't get a lawyer who's prepared to take the matter on, then the only thing you can do would be to take the matter on yourself, which, of course, would be quite difficult for you. So it is a real problem. And of course, the other side of it is that you need a firm of lawyers that actually do personal injuries and medical negligence, and not every law firm does that. So that's the other difficulty that you have in relation to it, unfortunately, Trevor. So I honestly can't really offer you any assistance in relation to that. Unfortunately, our firm doesn't do personal injuries or medical negligence as part of the work that we do. The Maybe the only other thing you could possibly do, have you spoken to the, is it the Health Services Ombudsman or the...
Yes, done all that, John.
All right.
I've done everything, and basically I just can't get anywhere. Centrelink, you know, I've applied for disability, and every 6 months, Centrelink just send me a letter, say rejected.
Well, what determines whether you'll get a disability pension, of course, is that you need to have a medical certificate that says that you are permanently unfit for work.
My doctor's certificate, John, stipulates permanent disability. My surgeon says permanent disability. They don't accept the word permanent.
Right. Well, what you need to do then is find out from them what they need, what they will accept, and go back to your doctor and get a certificate in the terms that they say they need.
Yeah.
The only other thing you might possibly do would be to get in contact with the Commonwealth Ombudsman in relation to the situation.
Yeah.
And have a chat
take
to
it,
them.
Do the federal have an ombudsman?
Yes, they do. Have you got a pen handy?
I have, within a second, yes I have.
Mm-hmm. So the number is 1300.
Yep.
362.
072. 072. Thank you very much, John.
Okay.
Thanks for your help.
Okay, Trevor. All the very best. Well, thank you to all the people who've called in today and made for such an interesting program. I'll certainly look forward to being back with you again next week for another program of The Law on You, so keep those calls coming. As we say every week, until we meet again, goodbye and God bless.